Today, we have four large group games for your youth ministry that are non-elimination style.
Welcome to the Ministry Coach Podcast, where we bring you weekly tips and tactics to help you fast track the growth and health of your youth ministry. If this is our first time meeting, my name is Jeff Lascola, and this is
Kristen Lascola.
And today we have four really fun large group style games that are non-elimination.
Yep. And I know that is a pain point for a lot of youth pastors, is you plan this game and then either people don't participate, and what do you do with those kids that are just sort of on the fringe?
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. And then the elimination part. So I'm out, now what?
Right.
Well, if you work with junior hires, you know they get into some trouble,
right?
And they can become destructive, and it's this whole other thing going on, and it's so distracting. It's like we're trying to play a game, and you're over here doing your own weird thing and causing noise and misbehaving or getting into stuff, whatever.
Right. So because you're going from 90 kids whittled down to five, and the other 85 are like, whatever, we're doing our own thing, we're gonna destroy
exactly.
the church.
Exactly. And so for me, one of the solutions has been to focus on games that implement small groups as the team. Because it's a lot easier. So say you play a game of dodgeball, classic youth group example. Well, a lot of your eighth grade girls probably don't want to play, or your sixth grade girls. I don't know.
Or your seniors or your juniors.
Yes, whatever. They just are like, okay, we're going to go sit over here, do our own thing during the game. So they're already disinterested in the game itself. And dodgeball is like, you know, you just divide it into two big teams and people just fall where they may. The other part of dodgeball, you know, it's like, well, you're out, now what?
Right.
I mean, you get in line, if someone catches it, if you play that version, then they have the option to come back in, but that's not really like productive in keeping them occupied, right? So when you make teams for a game, a small group, people can't just disappear off into the margins. Because if I have six small group girls I'm looking for, and one of them decides to go sit on the sidelines, I'm going to be like, Sarah, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, come over. Like, this is our team. We need you. And it just makes it, takes a large youth group and makes it into these little bite-sized chunks so that everyone's accounted for. Nobody's like slipping through the cracks, because now each small group leader has essentially become a team captain and they're looking out for their people. If you have a group over 50, you know that like you start playing a game and they're like little roaches that just sort of go wherever.
Scatter.
Yeah. And they could go into the cracks, go behind this. And I've had kids get in trouble because we were all playing a game. They went into a room that somebody had left unlocked and mayhem ensues. And this thing got thrown at this person and now they're hurt. And who did it? Nobody
will.
So it's just like we need to keep them occupied. So the small group leader makes sure if one person is missing, they're going to go and pursue them. So the games we're going to share today are all small group team based, and participation heavy, so that everyone's participating, everyone's accounted for, everyone is fully engaged, non-elimination. So let's get started. We played this one two Tuesdays ago, and it was really fun. It was a lot to set up, but I think it was worth it, and I would definitely do it again. It was The Price is Right adapted for youth group. So basically what I did is I had every small group be its own team, like I said, and I had all the small group leaders have the kids write down their name on a little piece of paper and put it in a cup that was labeled their small group. So for example, you're the small group leader, you have a cup called Jeff's small group. You pass out all these little papers to your boys, they write their name, you put them in the cup, and then you turn them into me, the host. So now I have like 12 cups up there that say Jeff's small group, Jed's small group, Josh's small group, Jesse's small group, Johnny's small group. We have a lot of J names in our youth group. And they're all up there with all the names. So each round, me and Caleb, my other host, we would pick a name and be like, Sam Grantham, come on down. It's your turn to play The Price is Right. And they would come up to our bidding table, right? So we had these 2 6-foot tables with a piece of paper and like a Sharpie or something. And then the next small group, Sarah Smith, from Arden's small group, come on down. It's your turn to play The Price Right. So every single round, we would pick a name out and call a person from that small group.
Would you do enough rounds that every single person would get called up?
Pretty much. Okay. I think there was one small group that had like an insane number of people, like 16, and not every person on theirs got to play, but most every kid got to play, and they were all like, are they going to call my name next? Yeah. Or are they going to call my name? So they'd come down to the bidding table, and then I'd say, Caleb, what do we have for them today? And then up on the screen in Pro Presenter, we would put an item like Jordan's or something, and we would say, you place your bets or place your bids, whoever gets closest to the actual retail price of the item without going over, right? Mm-hmm. So once we would give the kids like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, place your bids, and they would hold them up. And then we would reveal the actual retail price. Whoever got the closest to that, obviously without going over, gets to come up on stage now and play the game. Everyone else goes and sits down because we're going to call a fresh batch of people for round two. So a lot of kids, as far as they made it, was the bidding table, but that's okay because their name got called. They got to come up, they got to try, and they had a lot of fun. I interviewed a couple kids after. I said, even though you didn't make it up on stage, was it okay? Did you have fun? Yeah, I loved it. It was fun to like just go up and hear my name called. And then, you know, so they loved it.
Now, stop you for a second. When you said they hold up the amount like that they're bidding, what are they holding it up on?
That piece of paper.
Oh, sorry. You did mention that. Yeah. Sorry.
It's okay. I'm used to repeating myself. I work with Junior Hex. I'm used to nobody listening to me. So then they come up on stage. And so I did a couple different games. So I went to the store and I got a bunch of things a junior hire would want to win for their small group. So it wasn't just going to be you're chugging a whole gallon of chocolate milk yourself. You would share that with your group.
Gross.
Yeah, they loved it. So it'd be things like a family pack of Rice Krispie treats, a gallon of chocolate milk, a tray of cinnamon rolls, donut holes, a big, huge bag of Flaming Hot Cheetos, all things a junior hire would be stoked to win. So one game was they had like, I gave them 30 seconds. I think they needed longer. I'd go 45 to a minute because you want to have as many winners as possible. Mm. It's not fun if nobody can win the games. So you give them a few of the items on a table on the stage. Say you give them 5 items and they have to put them in order from most expensive to least expensive. So The mistake I made is I think I picked things that were a little too close in price, and kids don't shop. So they're like, I don't know, how much do Pop-Tarts cost? So I think I wish I would have made either given them fewer items or made the items a little more obvious. But we did have some winners. So they would arrange the items. And then if they still had time on the clock, we'd say, oh, you have 3 items right. Keep going. You know, if you want to make it even easier, you could tell them exactly what 3 items are correct. So you could play with it a little bit, depending if you're playing with high school students, junior high students. I think high school could be a little more difficult. You could just say, you have 3 right and leave it at that. With middle schoolers, I'd say this one's correct, or, you know.
Yeah.
The other variation of the game they can play is you actually put the prices on a card and they just have to stick them to the thing and to the item and match the correct price to the item. So again, you could say, oh, this one's right, this one's right, rearrange the rest, you still have 10 seconds, something like that. So if they win, if they're able to do it correctly before their time runs out, then they get to pick any one of those items and take it back to their small group, and the whole group's excited and gets to celebrate. So that one was super fun. A couple of tips that make it even more extra: make sure you download the Price is Right theme song. And then there's 2 like sound effects. Like if somebody gets it right, it's like the ding, 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 ding. And we use like green lights. If you have like a light board, you could pair that with some green lights or different things. And then if they get it wrong, we did the, it's like a trumpet, and it's the actual Price is Right one. It's like,
and it's, or just sample Kristen saying that right now.
You can record that. You have it for free. And we paired that with like red lights. And so when we call the kids down, you want to play the Price is Right theme music, and you can use like stroby kind of lights. whatever you have access to. Obviously, you might not have everything, but you can't do this without the music. Mm. So you need the music when you're announcing their names and when they go on and off the stage. I think that's what made it super fun, was just the thematics of it.
Yeah.
So it was good. I would definitely play again. It kept everyone engaged. You know, small groups were a great way to do it. I would say it was a hit. So that's game number one.
And real quick, just as always, if you guys want a copy of these games written in PDF form so you can read the instructions and not have to go back to the video, we will have that available. Just email us at ministrycoachpodcast@gmail.com and write large group games, and we'll go ahead and send those over to you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Number two.
All right. So this one is called Human Curling. No, not like the hair curling. I would have won today. So it's like a winter Olympic sport, yeah, basically. If you don't know,
these are all indoor games too, aren't they? These are great to all play inside.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what your outside is like, you could play human curling outside. We play it in our auditorium. We just clear it. You just need a big, smooth floor, basically. So what we do is we divide our teams by small groups, right? So every small group is their own team. You can make them countries if you wanted and give them little flags, or just one big flag on, like, you print on a piece of paper. We used to have a high school pastor that would theme the name of the game, or the name of the teams, really weird, like Bob Ross's Happy Little Trees or something like that. And you could come up with a logo for each team. You can go as weird as you want on the teams, or you could just be like Jeff's small group, whatever. So basically every small group needs a skateboard. And then prior to playing the game, you need to tape off an area on the furthest side of your court or auditorium. We do one big square and one small square in the center. So basically each round, everyone starts at a similar point and they get one rider and a pusher. And the rider has to sit on the skateboard and they cannot touch the ground at any time. You're automatically disqualified. If a hand goes down, mm-hmm, if a foot goes down, if your whole body falls off, which happens a lot, you're out. The pusher pushes, and if you make all four wheels into the big square, you get 100 points. If you get all four wheels into the small square, which is a lot harder, it's more of like a bullseye, you get 200 points. If you're at any point, your wheels are half in, half, mm-hmm, out, obviously that's divided into 50 points. So if you have half of your wheels in the big square, half out, you only get 50 points. If you have half of your wheels in the little square, half in the big square, that would be 150 points.
Okay.
If you get no wheels in the square and you just come to a landing, then you get 0 points. You fall off, you get 0 points. Now the rider can steer themselves just by leaning, but they cannot use,
slow themselves down,
like scooting, like this, no scooting,
like rocking back and forth.
Yeah. And we get crazy. My associate pastor Caleb was laughing at Jed and I the other day, because we were literally, our heads were down on the ground, like looking to see where these wheels were, and we're like writing stuff and points. So it's very official. So over time, you know, the group gets like, okay, like how far, how hard do we push? Like they're trying to get their strategy down, gauge their momentum. Now, a lot of times you'll notice that riders will accidentally bump into other riders and push them out of a certain, and the chips,
yeah,
fall
so
where they
I want,
may
in
that.
True curling fashion, is it one team goes and then
they
another
all go
team
at
go?
The same time.
Okay,
that's how we do it. You could do whatever you want.
So coming from different directions,
they're kind of the like same? In a horseshoe, okay, like a semicircle, and they're all going toward the same target all at the same time. We just go 3, 2, 1 and they just all are coming. They hit each other,
yeah,
and if they fall off, well, too bad. You're out.
I'm sorry. Did you already mention, can they push each other or no?
No. Players can't push each
that's
other.
That's what I mean.
No. No, Jeff. No, of course not. But like, say you're in the bullseye, but someone's still creeping in and they push you out. It's like when your wheels come to a complete stop, okay, that is where you are. So it's a bummer if somebody, that's why you have to push them all at the same time, because otherwise they would just aim at each other and try to hit
yeah,
each other curling.
Out.
Yeah, but you know, they would go way too intense,
right,
and it would just wouldn't
slam
be fun
into someone,
yeah,
just to hit them hard.
So it doesn't work to your advantage to hit someone out. You want to just get in as much as you can. If you just happen to hit them, because I mean, we have 12 small groups, like you're going to hit each other. It's really fun.
That actually also answers my next question, is why don't you have them lay down? But that would probably be bad because they'd be clunking heads or something. So sitting up is probably better.
The sitting is good. And most junior hires can fit on a regular size skateboard that way. And then we did a leader round and my leaders fit. They didn't all make it because some of them just, you know, teetered off, but it was fun watching. Okay. So obviously the points accumulate, the most points at the end wins. And this is just, again, another way where small group leaders are their team captains. They're making sure all of their kids are accounted for. It's a fun spectator one and you're waiting for your turn. Mm. So everyone's participating. If you have enough time to do multiple rounds, people could be riders more than once.
Yeah.
But it just makes people who aren't like, I'm not going to run around and throw dodgeballs at people, right, but I do want to participate and be known in some way. They're a part of the team. If they want to opt to ride or not opt to ride, it's fine either way. So that's number two. That's one of our favorites. We've been playing it for years. It's a crowd pleaser. Okay. And number three is called Me Buried Treasure. This one is, again, I've been playing this for years and it's a staple in our youth ministry. And wouldn't you know it, all the teams are small groups. So here's the way we do it, is we put a big storage bin full of like the plastic, I call them Chuck E. Cheese balls, but Chuck E. Cheese doesn't even have a ball pit anymore. Ball pit balls.
Ball pit balls.
Ball pit balls. The little circular ones. You can buy them on Amazon. Easy peasy. You put them in the bin. And then what I do is I hide a bunch of treasures. So I'll go to our dollar store and I'll get like a rubber ducky, little like beaded necklaces, like the really shiny ones, little army men, little animal figurines, a kazoo, a golden egg, like all kinds of stuff, right? And so you bury it all amongst there. Now, every person in the small group has a number. If you're not going to have the same number of kids per small group, so you're going to have to, some people have two numbers, stuff like that. So you have them line up and you'd be like, all right, here we go. When I yell the number, you run to the center. Number five.
Okay, so it's not a countdown. It would just be the yelling right that. And then right when they hear it, they go.
Yep. So number five would run to the center. They are allowed to find one treasure and then they have to run back and hand it to their small group leader. And then they go back and then they go, if they get another one, they hand it to their small group leader. They keep doing that till time runs out. The team with the most treasures at the end of the round, so it's like a 30-second round, you get 1 point per treasure. So it's not like, oh, you're the winner, but everyone gets points. So it's like you got 15 treasures, 15 points. You got 8 treasures, 8 points, whatever. So a couple rules with that. Junior hires will inevitably pick up the bin and dump the whole thing out. You're out if you do that.
Yeah, define the bin.
It's like one of those like plastic storage bins, like from, I don't know.
Just a large one.
Yeah. And then, but if you could use a kiddie pool.
That's what I was imagining.
But I used to do that. I just don't know what happened to it. So now I have a bin that I use. So they're going to be digging. They're going to be going fast. Those ball pit balls, they're going to be going everywhere, spilling out. And that's going to happen.
Like incidental is okay.
Yes, incidental. That's a great word. So as long as they're not just chucking them out on purpose, it's like, no, then you're disqualified. So if you don't want to number the kids, you could just have a small group leader pick one kid per round and say, all right, on your mark, get set, go. So I think whether you number them or whether you just have a leader pick is up to you. And that will probably depend on the size of your group. Like if every small group has like 12 or under, it would probably work, which is pretty realistic. And then that way, I think when you number people, it's kind of fun because they're always on the edge of their seat.
Yeah, is it going to be me or not?
Yeah. And make sure you just call every single number at least once. Sometimes I spice it up and call two numbers. So it's like 4 and 3. And then a ton of kids are all in this like bin trying to get stuff out. So again, small groups are, and here's the benefit of small group games is, it accomplishes the goal of small groups connecting, people having a place to belong, small groups growing closer together because, you know, we do small group night out twice a year. No, I do it only once a year now. And it's like, well, what are they doing to actually hang out besides small group time? Mm. You know, and some small group leaders probably are having their kids over at their house and doing pool parties and going to the mall. I don't know, whatever they're doing. But to play a game together and compete together and win victories together and stuff like that. It just adds
team building.
Yeah. And that like camaraderie and that glue that kind of holds them together. So it's more than just fun. This is small groups connecting and building like just that vibe of like friendship and togetherness that you're hoping for. Okay, last one, number four. I played this on Sunday. I think it works for a weekend service and I think it works for a midweek service. It's called You Bet Your Cookie. And I think it's one of my favorite games. I would also like to report I competed and won in my division this Sunday. The kids are like, Kristen, you play. I'm like, you guys are going to regret this. And I won in like 2 seconds. And, boom.
And did they regret it?
Probably because I gloated. I was like flossing and like
flossing.
I was like celebrating, flossing. Yeah. Okay. So here's how it works.
Welcome to the 90s.
Flossing never goes out of style, Jeff. Okay. Our 5-year-old is flossing. It's a new generation of flossers. So you're going to need a lot of Oreos. Here's a pro tip. Don't use generic store-bought. That's what the mistake I made. Here's why. Oreos are the perfect weight for this game. And if you try to go with like sandwich creams, like I did, try to save a few bucks, I ended up having to split them for the round because they were too heavy.
Wow.
I know.
Things you find out in youth ministry.
Things you find out. The regulation weight of an Oreo. So this is like the minute to win it game where I pick three people and the goal is they put the cookie on their forehead and you have to move the cookie from your forehead into your mouth without using your hands. And the first person to do that wins. But here's how it turns into a non-elimination crowd kind of game. Now, this one isn't necessarily a small group game like the other ones. So what I did is I brought my three. I called them ponies because we kind of did it like based on a like we have a race, horse racing track not that far from us. And so we were talking about like, place your bets on the horse. We got pony number one, Finley. And so I kind of themed it like that. And we played the dun, 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 dun. I forget what it's called. So I'll just sing it.
Again, feel free to sample this for your game. William Tell Overture.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Or I could just sing it and you could Shazam it. Welcome to the 90s. Well, that was Arnold.
That's fine. It works.
So all the kids in the audience would have a piece of paper and a pen and they would write who they were going to place their bet on. Now, it's not really gambling. Don't get weird because they're not putting anything in. They're not like giving me anything, money or
but
whatever.
I don't like to encourage them to like gamble.
Boo.
I'm like, I sit at home and I stare at the wall.
Okay. So all they have to do is write the name of the, you could call it guessing if you don't want to say betting. All right. I just thought it made it a little more fun, but you could say, guess who's going to win. So then they write the name of the person they're betting on, guessing, whatever, to win. And they hold it up and they're like cheering and, you know, come on. And so then we say, all right, get the position. And then they put the cookie on their head. They lean back and we say, and they're off. And then the music starts. And then they're trying to get the cookie again from their forehead to their mouth. If it falls on the floor, guess what you're doing? Picking it up and putting it back on your forehead. You're going to keep going, keep going, keep going till we have a winner. And so there was this kid, Finley. He won like 4 rounds or something. He was really good at it. So if they had Finley on their card, then everyone who betted on Finley,
bet
Jeff,
no cap,
bet, no betting. They got to come up, they would show me their paper, they would come up and they themselves would win an Oreo. I mean, if you have a huge group, you could give the cookies away that are sandwich creams if you're cheap, and then you could use the Oreos for it, but then they might get sad because they told me the generic brand was gross. They said, Kristen, these cookies are gross. when did you buy these? I was like, yesterday. They're like, are they expired? I'm like,
no, oh, they just taste that way. That's how they come.
So splurge on Oreos is what I'm saying. Oreos. But like
not double stuff, because that is going to throw off the weight ratio. I'm
so glad you said that. So glad you said that, Jeff. Do not get double stuffed, okay? Regular classic Oreo, all right? So it was really fun. Leaders can play too. You can do a round with them. Again, we always talk about theming our games, getting that horse racing music. There's also a fart version.
Do tell.
Instead of like instruments, it's just fart noises playing the William Tell overture.
I like it. Yeah. I do.
It doesn't really, it just sounds like some guy doing it with his armpit, it though, probably to be honest.
That's fine, though.
We played it. I mean, it was junior high. Know your audience.
That could be the bonus round.
Oh, speaking of, I'm glad you brought that up. Like, we would have the like winner race, you know? So, like, kids who had won a round, we do like the winner, like at the very end, you could be like, all right, all the winners come on up now, bet on the winners. And that's extra fun. So people got into it and everyone's participating. And that's the theme of today, is everyone picked up a, like, maybe not everyone wants to be the pony, like coming up to race their cookie, you know, but everyone can write a name down and hold it up and come up and get a free cookie, you know? And so it kind of kept everyone interested. There was really nobody like wandering off.
Right.
Even the cool kids who maybe like didn't want to run around, or people who just are new and shy. It was just easy. Like, you could, it was a very well strategized game that I feel like hit every person and personality and really fit our needs. And it was so fun.
Yeah. And like you're saying, that the cookie portion, on, you know, whatever, that is a minute to win a game. So if you just needed a quick icebreaker, you could also do that. I'm sure most of you have heard of that before or have done it, but adding the element of the horse racing kind of like hype up, you know, all that stuff is just a cool way to get everybody involved. It's fun just to watch, like you were saying. You may not, well, I'm like, I'm not going to go up there and be the
spectacle. We were laughing so hard. You want to know the funniest part is what people do with their hands during that, because you can't use your hands. So they'll just like do these weird poses, like, because they feel it about to slip, but they know they can't touch it. Here's the strategy. You got to get it forehead, eye, cheek, tongue, and you got to move the cheek the right way. And then when it's close enough, you got to hook it with your tongue.
It's also another version of head, knees, shoulders, cup, or whatever is forehead, eye, cheek, tongue.
Careful, you will get cookie crumbs in your eye. Yeah, so that is a risk for the game.
Wear safety glasses.
If you wear glasses, you got to take them off. We had the kids take your... This kid was about to start playing and they started screaming, "Get out your glasses!" They were like so intense. Because here's the thing. If you have an up in front game where the people in the audience have something to also win, it gets so much more intense.
Right.
Because otherwise it's like, oh yeah, yay, go Finley.
Right.
But if Finley winning means you get a cookie, you are yelling and you are engaged and you are... bought in, and you're not going to check out. And there's no elimination. We just played and played and played until worship started.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Until the worship team just came up and said, "Get off the stage."
Not now. We're doing something really important.
Well, this episode is actually inspired by Heather Hublin, who gave us the from the question from the last episode. If you had any youth ministry questions that you wanted us to answer, this is one of the ones that she had asked. So thank you, Heather. We appreciate
Thanks, Heather.
That.
She's
There's
awesome.
A whole episode for you. If you guys did want the games and the instructions, remember to email us ministrycoachpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll send those over to you. Just write large group games or something to that effect in the subject line and we will send it over. So the question of the day, Heather was the comment of the day. Thank you, Heather.
Yes.
Okay. Question of the day. What do you hoard?
Well, okay. So there's these Takis that are
the knockoff Takis. But they're healthier.
They're the healthier, nicer Takis.
If that's possible.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have red dye in them. So they sell them at Trader Joe's. Some of you know what I'm talking about. They're the chili lime roll-ups.
Yeah, rolled something. Rolled tacos.
They're so good. Sprouts also has a version. When I buy those, I hoard them.
You hide them from the rest of us.
I hide them. I hoard them. I don't share them. Also, anytime I have really good chocolate or fancy snacks or fancy chocolate, like things like M&Ms, whatever, I'll put them in the drawer. Everyone can have them. But I get a very special treat that I don't
want. Where do you hide them?
I'm not telling you. I have two spots where I hide my special treats that
you think
I don't want to share.
Where they are.
You don't know.
I do know.
No, you don't.
I know where one of them is.
Where?
I'm not going to tell you.
Then nope,
you're
gonna stop. I don't using use that it. Spot anymore.
That's what you think. It's the other one then.
Shut up. You don't know. What do you hoard, Jeff?
What don't I hoard would be an easier question to answer. Probably one of the ones I think that I am pretty bad at is I hoard boxes. Mm-hmm. Like every time I get an Amazon box or just like a larger box, I break it down and hoard it in the garage. I don't know why. Maybe there's a time where we're going to move and we're going to need a lot of boxes or I feel the need to ship a lot of things, but I feel like that is when you transition into adulthood where you take a look at certain things and all of a sudden you think, that's a really good fill in the blank. Box is in this case.
Okay.
It's a really good box.
I used to do that with jars. Like
we used to. We have a whole cupboard full of jars.
I throw them away now. I throw them away because I would clean them out and I'd be like, I could use this to store peanuts in.
Ooh. So like the plastic pickle jars we have, just like tons of mason jars, tons of. Yeah, that is yours.
So what boxes are to you, jars are to me.
Yeah. So it's that adult. Never in your life would you have thought jars would be something
finally
to keep.
Got rid of all my mugs. Whew, that was a tough day.
Yeah. Put in the comment section below, what is something that you hoard? Something that's a little bit out of the ordinary. Like, I hoard money. Like, we all would love to do that. But make sure you guys put that down in the comment section below. If you guys want the games for this episode, be sure to email us, like I mentioned before. We thank you so much for watching and listening, and we'll see you next time. Welcome back for... Make sure you email us if you want those instructions for those games, and we thank you so much for watching and listening. And if you got... What would... How see how I can say this? No, we're not going to touch that song. No, we're not going to touch that... That's... Okay, sorry.